Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, it's Friday. Who cares? It's Friday.
Anything Friday. Goes on Friday.
Ooh, calendar notification. Bonsai 2 minutes. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rosedahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is Friday, the 19th of April.
You have to sing it like that. Who was that girl who sang the Friday song that was like very meaningful at the time?
Yeah.
Rebecca something?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm sure someone in the chat will tell us. Anyway, I'm not Rebecca. I am Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, as well as folks joining us on the YouTube live stream. It is Friday. That means we are doing our weekly happy hour, which we like to call Economics on Tap. And thank you for joining in.
We are going to do, as we always do, some news on this Friday. We'll take a break, then we'll play a game. I believe Drew's on tap today. But before we get to it, let's talk drinks. I, as promised in the newsletter today, I'm having a cup of coffee because I got some things to do afterwards, starting with washing the dogs, by the way.
I feel like I have an advantage for you for the happy hour because it's like early afternoon for you.
Oh, I know.
The end of the day for me on happy hour.
And here's the problem. If I start drinking now, I have to keep drinking. And you know, by like 8:15 my time, I'm like... And I don't have time for that today. Don't have time.
I get up at like 3 o'clock in the mornings on Saturdays, so I pretty much have this drink and then
go
to bed.
Why do you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? Why do you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays?
So I can be someplace at 4:30 AM.
What are you doing at 4:30 in the morning? Not that it's any of my business.
It's okay. I'm on C-SPAN on Saturdays.
Oh right. Wow.
So I have my drink. I get my stuff together, you know, do my nails or whatever else I have to do and go to bed. That's pretty much it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, what are you drinking for your one drink of the day?
My large, extra large drink. I definitely got my proportions off when I was making this drink. It is a rum punch. It is made with a tropical habanero syrup that I got from this local DC company that makes syrups for a spirit. It's called Pratt's Standard, I think is what they're called. So it's a tropical habanero syrup, orange juice, and the recipe called for pineapple juice, but I didn't have any. So I used like a San Pellegrino tangerine and wild strawberry sparkling water, and then rum, of course, rum.
Does the habanero, do you get the habanero through there? Do you really feel it?
Yeah, there's a nice little bit of heat. And I use spiced rum instead of white rum, so it's got a really interesting flavor profile. I like it.
It's nice.
I'm on the vibe of the summery drinks the past couple weeks.
There you go. Yes. Somebody in the chat, and I
yes, Courtney says it was Rebecca Black who did the Friday song. Thank you, Courtney.
There you go. I remember that one. Bob Cat in the chat is drinking dark rum on ice. So there you go. You've got some company today. Got some company.
Yes, people are not liking my early wake up, I see.
Ooh, no joke. Barbara Monahan says she thought it was going to be a one-off when you said you were going to be on C-SPAN a couple of weeks ago. Now, are you the regular Saturday person?
Sometimes I do Sundays, but yeah, it's pretty much a regular Saturday gig. Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting because like people call in and, you know, you can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat, you can call in on the independent line, and you really do get a sense of like what people are thinking about what's going on in the country. And sometimes people say wild stuff, but for the most part, it's people who are like deeply engaged and care about politics and you know, just want to have a space to say it. And it's been really fascinating and definitely informs some of the stuff that, you know, I bring to Marketplace, like, you know, in terms of ideas that I hear from people. Yeah. So anyway, what's everybody else drinking?
Well, here's it. So Kay Gilbert might win today. She's drinking a float. It's chocolate ice cream, cream soda, and vodka.
Yes. Hmm.
I don't know.
Nice, nice. Let me hop over to the Discord, see what y'all are drinking.
All right.
Let's see. Tyler is having the aviation gin, it says with Kimberly's favorite spirit, in anticipation of my upcoming flight instructor practical test. Okay, Tyler. Oh, nice. Good job. Good luck.
Good deal, Tyler. Congratulations, man.
Good luck. Oh, that's amazing. Okay, let's see. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, my God. Paul in Minnesota. Greetings from Frosting, Minnesota. Went for a walk in 30 degrees with 12 degree real feel. That's absurd. That's absurd. I'm sorry.
Oh, wait. Tyler says it's not aviation gin, but an aviation cocktail made with Tanqueray gin. I don't know what an aviation cocktail is. Huh. I guess sure I'll find out.
Me neither.
What else do we have in the YouTube chat?
Michael Cooper wants to know how early he needs to wake up to call into you on C-SPAN.
7 a.m. Eastern. The show goes from 7 to 10 Eastern, although tomorrow, because the house is coming in, I think at 9, it's going to end early.
How long do you usually go? Wait, sorry? Is it like 3 hours?
Yeah, it's
right?
a show. Yeah, it's a 3 hour show.
Right.
Wow. Let's see. Lots of, see, guys drinking water, and Paul is also drinking water. Cheryl's going to order a gin and tonic now that Cheryl's on a plane, safe flight. Uday is drinking an Indian mango panna. I'm allergic to mangoes, and so there's a lot of, I'm allergic to mangoes, and it's to the point where you know how if you have an allergy, like at first you have a small reaction, and the more you're exposed to it, the reaction gets worse and worse. I'm now at the point where if I have mango, like it really starts like making me feel like my throat is swelling up. It's bad. Wow. So there's like all of these cocktails I cannot have, or sometimes I'll have something and I won't realize mango's in it, and I only discover it because I start feeling the reaction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's horrible. All right. Shall we? Anyway,
let's do some news.
This is learning about Kimberly's interesting little things here.
All the things in my life, all the details.
Yeah.
What's your news, Kai?
Mine isn't newsy as much as it is gobsmacky. And the through line here is that rich people have too much time and too much money. There's a great piece in Bloomberg about how rich people in New York State are getting creative to flee state taxes. Auditors are on to them. So rich people, I'll just read the first sentence. At New Jersey's Teterboro and Long Island airports, dozens of private jets destined for Florida take off at times such as 11:42 p.m. or 11:54 p.m. Over at JFK, a regular flight from San Juan, Puerto Rico, arrives at a seemingly purposeful time, about 15 minutes after midnight. This is all so the very wealthy can leave New York, declare residency elsewhere, and not get nailed with New York State taxes. For the ultra-rich, the piece says, even an extra day in the wrong place could mean millions in income tax liability. Tell me again that our tax code makes any sense.
I will not.
It's crazy.
I will not.
It's just it's a wild piece. It's a wild, 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 wild piece.
That's sort of the next thing that I'm looking at. You know, you and I have both been doing reporting on sort of what fuels, you know, the national debt and deficits and things like that. And the next thing I'm looking at in that regard is stuff in the tax code that incentivizes certain social behaviors that contribute to the debt and the deficit. But that's one section. A whole other section is just the way that it really let some people get away with stuff.
And look, this is the New York State tax code, not the Internal Revenue Code, but to be clear, there are loopholes everywhere. It's just bananas.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Do you still have the banana pants? Did they even ever fit you, or what was that?
My banana pants never fit. They were like for Ginormo Man, and I am not that. So no, I don't have any banana pants. I have a banana shirt. And I have a Bananas sweatshirt, which is the most comfortable sweatshirt in the world. But otherwise, no, don't have it.
You know, my Marketplace sweatshirt, like the one with like the sort of headphones over the logo, is so comfy. I wear that thing the time.
Totally.
I love it.
Yep.
It's like it's just thin enough so that it doesn't make me like hot and sweaty, but it's very cozy.
So mine is actually wearing out. It's getting a little frayed around the collar. So if anybody in St. Paul in the swag shop is listening, let's get those back in rotation and send me one or two, would you?
Yeah, those are great.
All right.
My news is, you know, I love a good federal regulation.
You've got to get out more. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can't because you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you Dork. Jesus.
I like the work. I like the work. Okay, so back up a little bit to the Trump administration under the Department of Education under Betsy DeVos, kind of changed the rules that under Title IX. So Title IX are the rules that sort of prevent gender discrimination in public universities or universities that receive federal funding. You know, if you want to be able to have your students get access to like federal student loans and all sorts of other funding, you have to adhere to the rules under Title IX. This, we were talking about the WNBA and salaries the other day. The reason that men and women's sports in college have to have more or less, air quote, equal treatment is because of Title IX. Under the Trump administration, they tweaked some of the rules under Title IX about who was covered and who wasn't. And a lot of people in the LGBTQ community were really upset because it kind of limited their protections in that space and a bunch of other stuff that bothered people. So Biden's administration has revamped the rules. They got something like 240,000 public comments on this, according to the 19th News, regulations.gov, y'all. So that to the suggested updates. So they have updated these rules under Title IX. And according to the 19th News, this is the historic civil rights law preventing federally funded academic institutions from practicing sex discrimination. Now it includes provisions that strengthen the rights of sexual violence survivors during misconduct investigations and of LGBTQ plus individuals to experience school in a way that aligns with their gender identity. However, the new regulation stops short of stating that transgender students have the right to play on sports teams that correspond with their identity, a move that supporters of these young people had hoped for. And if you pop over to the Associated Press and their coverage of that, it talks about how it makes the biggest change is recognition that Title IX protects LGBTQ plus students, and it, because the law doesn't directly address the issue. Elsewhere in the reporting on this, it talks about how the new rules help deal with online sexual threats and violence, particularly if someone does like revenge porn or something like that, which obviously didn't exist when the law was written in 1972. So there have been a bunch of updates to this rule to try to address what, you know, what it looks like at this point. In the AP, they say DeVos criticized the new rule, writing on social media site X that it amounts to an assault on women and girls. She said the new procedure for handling sexual assault accusations mark a return to days where sexual misconduct was sent to campus kangaroo courts, not resolved in a way that actually sought justice. So under the DeVos rules, like, for example, if someone had accused someone of sexual misconduct, but both of them were students in, say, like the same lab, this was one of the examples given in I think it was the 19th, whoever showed up first got to stay in the lab and the other person had to leave. So what was happening is somebody would accuse someone of sexual misconduct and then that person who was being accused would like show up extra early to lab and make sure that they basically couldn't go to class. So anywho, definitely worth looking into and unpacking these new rules because it matters for a lot of students. And this is how the federal government exercises power in spaces that are not under direct federal authority, is by setting rules around how you get access to funding. So, yeah, that's my news.
Totally. No, those are important stories. I'm glad you brought those up. We are done for the news. Quick break. And when we come back, half full, half empty with Drew Johnston. Here we go.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are back. It is now time to play Half Full, Half Empty, hosted by the wonderful Drew Jostad. Drew, let's take it away.
First up, are you half full or half empty on the rise of big drive-thrus?
So this is a story I did this week, an interview I did with a woman from Vox, a reporter from Vox, about not just one-lane drive-throughs, not just two-lane drive-throughs, but three-, four-, and five-lane drive-throughs, which have become more common and more consumer-desired since the pandemic. The catch is, of course, that they mess up traffic and are sometimes unsightly, and cities are limiting them. There is, in my little town here in the Los Angeles suburbs, a new Starbucks drive-thru that's opened up, and its driveway goes right onto the main drag through town, and it backs up like crazy, and it completely bollocks this thing. So I am half empty on mega drive-thrus.
Wait, does it back up because there's only one lane, or does it back up because there are multiple lanes?
This one actually is because it's one lane, but multiple lanes in other drive-thrus back up almost the same way around town. So
I am going to say that I'm actually half full on this one. We rarely disagree on these. Half full on this one. Having been through some multiple lane drive-thrus, I find that it makes the whole process move a bit quicker.
Well, that's true.
I was in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru at one point. I think there were like three or four,
right,
and they have
right.
that system down pat. Like, it was, you go into a lane and then you order, and then they tell you which person should move forward in what order so that you can pick up. And it's sort of like you end up all funneling to the window, but it just takes some of that line and condenses it. And so, you know, if you've got the space for it, sure. And if it keeps people off of the main drag, yeah, sure. Why not? Doesn't bother me.
Fair enough.
What's
Drew,
next?
What do you got?
Half full or half empty on giving robots hair.
I'm sorry, what? I thought you said giving robots hair. That can't possibly be right.
This was an op-ed in The Verge of sort of jumping off of Boston Dynamics' most recent demonstration of one of their new robots, saying that all these robots would just be less creepy if they had nice, luxurious hair.
I think they're still pretty creepy, man. I'm just saying.
Let's see. I read a short story once. It was science fiction, and it had a robot with hair, and it was deeply disturbing. So I'm going to go all the way empty on this one.
Same.
And yes.
I have nothing more I need to say about this. Just same. Let us not anthropomorphize them, shall we?
I mean, look, it's a robot. Let it be a robot. We don't need to make it.
Exactly.
Organic.
Exactly. Lipstick on a pig and all that.
Yes, that. What's next?
Okay, going to a couple of stories Sabri did last week about the tipped minimum wage. In 2022, voters in Washington, D.C. voted to phase out the tipped minimum wage. And since then, full-service restaurant employment in Washington, D.C. is down 10%. Are you half full or half empty?
Yeah,
so
interesting question. Go ahead.
I had very strong feelings about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because 2022 was not the first time that D.C. voted on this. 2022 was the second time that D.C. voted on this. The first time D.C. voted to phase out the tip minimum wage, the D.C. City Council was just like, yeah, no, we're just going to overturn the will of the voters and do what the restaurant industry says. And they just didn't do it. And so then the organizers had to go back and do another ballot initiative to get it back on the ballot. And it was voted for with an even greater margin to pass. Look, tipping and tip minimum wage has its legacy in like slavery and all sorts of discrimination. And here in DC, I think it's hard for a lot of people in the food service industry because you can make bank on tips at some of these places in DC. Like some of the servers I talked to around the time when this was happening, they're like, look, I pull $1,000 in tips at, you know, a night, and this is not going to help me because people are going to stop tipping. I'm torn, you know, I'm half full on getting rid of the tipped minimum wage just because of how I know it affects the systems and what the research I've seen about it, at least. But on the other hand, I know it's hurting the restaurant industry here in DC, and or so they say. But again, when I think it was Rima who was on Make Me Smart a while back, and I was like, how much does stuff actually cost? You know, Mm-hmm. We have all of these businesses with business models built on not paying people livable wages. And, you know, whether that means you're working at a big box retailer and all the employees are on, you know, food assistance because they don't make enough money, or whether it's in a restaurant and you're relying on the patrons to make up the gap. We have a lot of business models that are built on not paying people livable wages. And I am half full on those eventually being phased out, even though I know the transition is going to be rough.
Generally speaking, I associate myself with the remarks made by the gentlelady from Washington, D.C. My analysis is not as subtle as hers, but fundamentally, we have to pay people minimum wages. And I think for the very small fraction of servers in this country who work in high-income cities like Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. New York, Los Angeles, right, I don't think we can let them skew the rest of the industry. Right. Because if you live in Des Moines or you know, Spokane, Washington, you're not making $1,000 a night in tips. You're just not.
No, for sure.
You know,
and some people in the chat are asking, you know, don't you can still, you know, what happens now? I mean, I would encourage you to go and look at Sabri's. You can still tip. Some restaurants are adding surcharges to cover, you know, and some of them use really passive aggressive language on their menus. They're like, because of, you know, this law, we have to add this surcharge in order to cover our expenses. And they're really bitter about it. But yeah, people still tip. But there was another story on the show today. Was it Mitchell's story or was it? No, it was in the Mitchell Weekly Wrap that where you all were talking about sort of how everybody's behavior is changing because of higher prices and be like, not going out to eat as much. I am not going out to eat as much as a result. But when I do go out to eat, I go out to eat planning to spend what I need to spend to make sure I can still tip in a way that I feel is appropriate, having worked in the food service industry in the past and knowing that the prices are going to be higher. But it does mean I go out less.
Yep. Interesting. That's a thorn. It's a thorny subject, right? Okay, Drew, what do you got?
Half full or half empty on Pringles themed Crocs.
I didn't see it. Don't know it. What?
Me neither. And sight unseen, I'm going to say half empty. Just I'm drawing a line in the sand right there.
Oh my God. Caillou,
I mean, it's a pair of Crocs that with like Pringles decorations on them, and there's like even a Croc boot with a little Pringle holster.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is the thing. It has a Pringles holster on it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no.
All the way full. Would buy, would eat Pringles from my boots. 100%.
Oh my God, that was
all
funny.
The way full on the Pringles Crocs. At first, I thought it was just going to be a color scheme thing, but now that I know that it actually makes it easier to eat chips on the go, all the way full. And there's like another little pocket. I love pockets. It's very steampunk. Let's do it.
I have nothing else to add.
You didn't give us your half full or half empty.
I did too. Right off the bat, I said sight unseen, half empty.
Oh, okay.
Right off the bat.
And he's sticking to it.
Like, no. I am sticking to it. I don't, just on principle.
All right. I guess it's time for the poll now, right?
Correct. Last topic.
All right, folks in the YouTube chat, get ready to vote in our poll. Please like the show as well. And you know what? Tell your friends. Tell them. We're a lot of fun. It's an entertaining to watch. All right. What's the last one?
Are you half full or half empty on swapping seats on a plane?
Oh, did you see this thing with Lizzie?
I did not. Lizzie O'Leary? What happened?
Yes. Okay. So there is always controversy about, you know, if you get on a plane and you ask somebody to swap seats with you. Well, I guess Lizzie was on a plane and she tweeted about this and got like crazy amounts of engagement. And was traveling with her kid and her husband, and they were offering to swap seats with somebody like in first class, like to give somebody like just a different seat, I think in first class or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the person still was like not game to move. And it's this whole thing about swapping seats to keep families together. And they had tried do the thing where they asked the airline to seat them together. The airline basically told them to be at the mercy of the passengers. And so it elicited this whole big discussion about whether or not it was okay for her to ask, what people should do, what they're obligated to do, and things like that. Yeah, so there's
that. That's so interesting. I think it's super contextual, right? Like if there's a couple with a small baby and it's, you know, the one of the parents would be separated from the other parent. I mean, flying with a little kid is a nightmare. And so you want to be able to tag team them and generally speaking, I'll move. But if it's some, you know, some guy who wants to sit next to his girlfriend, I don't know. I don't know. And is it a window or an aisle? Because I like,
you know,
to be,
I'm reminded of those signs outside like every university registrar's office. It's like a lack of planning on your part does not make an emergency on my part.
Right. Right.
And I think there's a mix of that and sympathy, because also plane tickets are expensive. And if you have to travel at the last minute, I mean, I remember, when you have like a death in the family or something and you're booking at the last minute, maybe you can't get seats together. And so then you are kind of relying on the kindness of strangers. It matters how you ask. It matters what you're asking to exchange for.
Right.
But I also think that the airlines actually need to be doing better about just seating families together in general.
Totally agree. So where do you come? Let's close that poll.
Half full or half empty on swapping seats? You know, my dad used to say, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. I'm half full on everybody's ability to ask, but I would hope that people would be respectful when they say no. Like,
yeah,
and like you said, it's contextual. So half, I'm just going to go half. I don't really have a full or empty on this.
Generally speaking, I'm half full, but it's very interesting that you say you're half, because the poll is 52% half full, 47% half empty at 180 votes. So that's a decent,
it's a tough one.
Sample size. Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, Tyler says he says, I'm an enormous human that doesn't fit well on planes, but I'll move to accommodate just about anyone. And Robert says, absolutely, it matters how they ask. And someone else said, I already picked my seat because that's where I want to sit. Absolutely. Oh, right. And don't oversell the seats. Exactly.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
Yep. It also matters, like, what kind of day I'm having, to be honest.
Oh, totally. Are you kidding me? It's so contextual. There is no simple answer to this. That's for sure. As we have seen.
Oh, my gosh.
The
I love
chat
this.
Chat is still going on this one.
Shelly Sindelar says, had a guy get snarky at me when my daughter and I were separated, so I handed him barf bags as she gets air sick a lot. Fixed things right away.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Perfect solution. Yeah. Love it.
Yep. All right. There we go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, that is it for us today. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. If you have a question or a comment that you want to share with us, or something you think should go into our half full, half empty, you know where to reach us. You can leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART. You can also email us, makemesmart@marketplace.org. I did not make much progress on this drink.
Well, you got a couple more hours before you have to go to bed. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Talia Menchaca is our intern.
The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
And there we have it. Another Friday in the can, as it were.
It's a good cocktail, though. I do like it.
Good. Good. I dig a habanero heat there. It's just a good heat. You don't need very much.
But wait, is it a cocktail if I haven't added any bitters to it? I think a cocktail has to have bitters.
I don't think that's true. I think if you think that's true, then you're going way too much to the regulations.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi. I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.